All right, class, settle down. Grab your notebook, your pencil, and your Bible, because it is time for another Bible pop quiz for this Wednesday, March the 27th, 2024. And well, class, you can look at the clock. It's 11:25 a.m. I know it's a Wednesday, and I know what you're thinking. Wait, we haven't had a Bible pop quiz in like over a month. Well, it's called a pop quiz for a reason because, well, you never know when it's going to happen. No, I should probably be doing it on a much more consistent basis, but well, then I get focused on this or I get focused on that, or I'm telling you to do this or I'm telling you to do that. And so I try to manage it, right? I try to manage it because if I'm giving you an assignment for something with the Sermons 2.0 app challenge, or if I'm giving you an assignment for something dealing with the lectionary, or maybe we go back to a Bible study exercise. If I'm giving you all of these assignments, and then in the middle of all of that, I throw in a Bible pop quiz, typically what I will hear is, well, you're giving me too much. I can't keep up with everything. So I'm trying to do a little bit better there. I'm trying. There's a part of me that just says, you know what? Just throw it all out there, and what people will participate in, they will participate in, and what they won't, they will not. So I don't know. I try to manage it. I don't know if I should, but hey, either way, you haven't had a Bible pop quiz in over a month. So are you ready? Do you have your notebook? Do you have your pencil? Do you have your Bible? Because today's Bible pop quiz is all about, is there something really there? Is there something really there? See, I have this idea, and for the Bible pop quiz, now this one's going to be unique. This is not going to be questions like, hey, question number one, question number two. It's not going to be fill in the blank. You know, this happened, and then I leave the blanks there, and you've got to go find the verse and fill in those blanks. It's not going to be like that. This is going to be more almost like a mini research project, right? You're going to be looking, you're going to be researching, And more of a research project and trying to find if there's actually something there in a certain section of scripture. Okay. And hopefully this will all make sense. Now, this is one of those that probably most people will not participate in. I think some people will do the fill in the blanks because those are relatively simple. Sometimes if I throw in some open-ended questions, I think people will do that. This kind of Bible pop quiz, people are going to be like, well, I don't know if we call this a pop quiz. This seems like a research project. This seems like you want me to do my, term paper. Okay. Well, I'll try not to make it that complicated, but this will require a little bit of work. So are you ready? Now, as you know, it is Wednesday, but it is Wednesday during what many refer to as Holy Week, as many Christians around the world take some time to remember, in a sense, that time of Jesus riding in his triumphant entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, going all through all the things that happened that week, leading up to his trial, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, and then his resurrection. That entire week, some refer to it as Holy Week, and a lot of churches, some will have extra services, lots of people do different things, and so we're right in the middle of that. And I think sometimes when we think of Holy Week, we may think of the pain and suffering that Jesus endured, but I think we typically see it as a message of victory, of Jesus overcoming death, sin, Satan, and the hope of the resurrection. And I think that there's a lot of kind of maybe in some ways it's viewed in a much more from a perspective of victory. Well, today, for your Bible pop quiz, we're going to be trying to figure out, is something there? And that something there is the idea of failure. Of failure. Now, let me explain how I came up with this idea. All right? Let me explain how I came up with this idea. I was looking at a devotional, and it's called God's Purpose for Your Life, 365 Devotions. God's Purpose for Your Life, 365 Devotions. And this comes from a book by Charles Stanley. I've been looking at a lot of different things by Charles Stanley because the Charles Stanley Institute is about to go live on April, I think, the 18th. So I'm just kind of, I'm digging up all of my old Charles Stanley books. Remember, I'm a graduate of the Charles Stanley Institute in its previous form. So I, you know, I'm just kind of going through, seeing what things I can find, books or things that I have, notebooks I have from that period of time, just trying to get, you know, I'm very interested to see what it's going to look like on April the 18th. So I was looking through this particular devotional, and I came to the devotion for yesterday, March the 26th. And the title of this devotion is, When We Fail. When We Fail. And I'm like, okay, all right. So there's the concept of failure. All right, good. Right? Then underneath that, it has, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2:13. I'm like, oh, that's a powerful verse. Then I thought about going to 2 Timothy, maybe working on that section of scripture, maybe building a study from that, maybe doing something with that, maybe doing a Bible pop quiz where we do some fill in the blanks in 2 Timothy. I don't know. I was thinking a lot of different things and exactly, you know, how I should develop it, what I should do. So, but I didn't really formulate, you know, anything in my mind definitive. I just was just stopping and thinking about it. So then I read the next paragraph. And it reads like this: As Jesus was arrested and taken to trial. Oh, okay. Now here's the arrest of Jesus, the trial. This puts us right into Holy Week. I'm like, okay, this is a good devotional for Holy Week. Okay, this is fitting perfectly. Then I read the next part. Peter denied knowing him three times. Undoubtedly, this was a very low point in the disciples' life. However, if we're honest, we can relate to feeling such intense fear and confusion that we doubt God, even renouncing what we know about his loving character, unfathomable wisdom, and resurrection power that can set everything right. Certainly, Peter felt his faith failures as deeply as you and I might. Now, I didn't even read any more of the devotional. I set it down. And I'm like, failure. Faith failure. Failure. Okay, that is not only a story about Peter. That is a story found through from Genesis all the way to almost to the end of Revelation. We see failure, 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 failure. In fact, the story of the Bible is a God who is perfect and holy, saving people who have failed, is failing, and will always fail because we can never live or obey God's law. We cannot do it. Whether saved or unsaved, we cannot do it. God saves us, but not by giving us the power to keep the law, because if we had the power to keep the law, then we would all be perfect and holy. Obviously, we cannot do that, so we do not have the power. He saves us by his son keeping the law on our behalf and dying to pay for all of our sins of never keeping the law. It's a story about God saving failures, not by making them successful, but by saving them in spite of them being failures. And like, sometimes I think that part of the story gets overlooked. So I was just kind of thinking about that. I'm like, okay, well, I could contrast that and try to really emphasize that. But then I just started thinking about failure, 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 failure. Just started thinking about it. And I had questions in regards to God's sovereignty, God's power, how God could intervene, how he could stop our failure. I mean, he could remove our sinful nature, and then therefore there would be no more failure. So then somehow failure has to be, in some ways, a part of God's plan. But if you say that, then people lose their minds. Okay. And just thinking it all through. And I thought, you know what? I don't know if there's anything there, but I think what we should do for our Bible pop quiz for this Wednesday, March the 27th, is I think I should challenge everyone to grab their Bibles, grab their notebooks, and look through all of the passages of Scripture that describes Holy Week or describes that last week from Palm Sunday all the way to Resurrection Sunday, right? That entire week. And then have everyone go through, just skimming those sections of Scripture, writing down any failures that they see in the text. And when I say failure, people failed to do this, or they failed to do this. Peter denying Jesus, that's a failure. People failing to recognize this, or the disciples failing to do this, or the people, and just write down all the perceived failures, just making a list of, here's the failure, describing it. Here's the passage, here's the failure, describing what the failure was. And then after you've gathered a list of all of the failures, just ask yourself, what can be learned by these failures? Now, I did do some of this work for you, not to give you the failure, but to kind of break down some of the scriptures or kind of tell you where to begin. Now, obviously, this last week of Jesus is described in all four gospels. Now, if you have a Bible, you can go ahead and start looking with me. If you go to Matthew chapter 21, and then you'll see this, all right? Matthew chapter 21, verse 1, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, all right? And then look what Jesus says to them in verse 2. Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. Matthew 21 begins to set the stage for Palm Sunday. So I want you to start in Matthew 21, go from Matthew 21 all the way to the end of Matthew, and just start making a list of the failures that you see. Now, in Mark, it begins in, I believe, chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And they came nigh to Jerusalem. And look, what do you see in verse 2? Go your way into the village against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. Right? So, Matthew 21, Mark 11. Those are the beginning points for the entire week. Just go from Matthew 21 to the end, Mark 11 to the end. As you go through these sections, look for failures. It can be failures in action. It can be failure in thinking. It can be failure in words. It can be failure in belief. Whatever the failure may be, find all the failures. And it doesn't matter who's doing the failing, okay? Then look at Luke. And then I think Luke 19 is where, I think this is where it begins in Luke. Luke 19, I believe starting in verse 28. Let's see, am I right? Yeah, and it came to pass when he was come nigh, and then look, starting in verse 30, go ye into the village over against you, in which you enter, you shall find a colt tied. All of this begins what? The preparations for Palm Sunday. So you start in Matthew 21, go to the end of Matthew. Start in Mark 11, go to the end of Mark. Luke 19, go to the end of Luke. Now, and now you're going to see in basically same events, similar events. So you can group that, like, here's the failure. This is where the failure is recorded in Matthew. This is where the failure is recorded in Mark. Here's where the failure is recorded in Luke. And then you can summarize what the failure is. Now, I believe in John, it's chapter 12. I believe it begins in verse 12. Yeah, John 12, 12. You may not have all of the prep here. I think it starts just this way. John 12, 12. On the next day, when people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's John 12, 13. Now, when these people come out doing this, is this a success or is this a failure? Do you perceive that as a success or a failure? Or the people failing? Because I think in some ways we could possibly make an argument that's demonstrating a complete failure. They don't completely understand. They think they're celebrating. They think the Messiah has come, and they have a feeling and an expectation of what Jesus is going to do, and he does not meet that expectation. And then you can contrast that to when they're all yelling, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. We don't want Jesus. And they're going to ask for someone else. Do you contrast? Is that a failure? I think that's a possible failure. I think here, what looks spiritual is actually a failure. because they're spiritual, but it's really a failure in expectation. It's a failure in what they really want. They don't want a suffering servant. They want a conquering king, right? Maybe, right? So you start in Matthew 12 or Matthew 21. You go and you go all the way to the end of Matthew. You start in Mark 11, go all the way to the end of Mark. So Luke 19, go all the way to the end of Luke. And then John 12, go all the way to the end of John. And just make a list of all the failures in which you encounter in the text. Is that a failure? Describe what the failure is. And then when it's all said and done, all you need to do is just write out a summary of what can we learn about these failures? What does it say to us? What do we learn by looking at all of these failures? What can we gain from it? What can we see? What can we be warned about? Maybe what can we be prepared for? Because to me, the more I perceive the failure, the more I see the frailty, the weakness, the inability of sinful men, the more important the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ becomes. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is to save failures. It is to restore them to right relationship to Him. It's not to take those failures, and I know that in our minds, the way evangelical Christianity teaches it, it turns us from failures to winners, and now we can do it, but we still fail. Failure is, if you have not figured it out yet, failure is daily in your Christian life. You never fulfill the law. You never. You're in a perpetual state of sin. You never love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. You never love your neighbor as self. He calls you to be holy as He is holy. You are never any of those things practically. Positionally, you are. But what can we learn about all of the failure that takes place? Now, maybe there's nothing there. Maybe you're going to go through it and go, well, there's a few failures. I don't really think there's anything significant here. But this exercise, right? This kind of pop quiz exercise may end up a failure. Now, I don't think it will, because it's going to get you to look at all of the scriptures pertaining to Holy Week. So in that sense, I accomplished something. But I really want you to just think about failure. That devotional really started making me think about, how do we understand failure? What do we learn from failure? How do we perceive it? How do we handle it? I think in some ways, the people who fell in scripture, especially those who we know were saved. So what we do, a lot of people who fail, we just throw them out and say they're not even saved, and we throw them out of the kingdom of God because it fits our narrative. And then those who are saved, we kind of go, well, you know, I mean, it wasn't this sin or it wasn't this sin. We almost minimize their failure because we still want to have this like ace up our sleeve that if someone fails enough, we can throw them out of the kingdom of God, or we can say, well, now that you failed, you can never do this. You can never do this. We almost forget the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ to save sinners. And that we seem to forget that there can be forgiveness. There can be restoration. There should be hope. So what can we gain from failure? How many failures are recorded in that last week of Christ's earthly life? How many failures are recorded? How many? See, when that triumphant entry, that them coming in and saying, you know, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna. I think that that's a abject failure. It looks like success, but it's a failure. I think the lesson I would take from that is sometimes failure can be misunderstood or be interpreted as spiritual success. There's nothing spiritually successful about them saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna, 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 and all the things that they're saying, because it's not going to be long. They're going to be like, no, we don't want you. We want him, and we want you to die. Well, what happened? I think there was a failure of expectation. So I think that's an important thing for me, is sometimes when I look most spiritual, it may actually be failure, because maybe I'm looking spiritual for all the wrong reasons. Maybe sometimes we can disguise our selfishness as being spiritual. Oh, there's so many things we could do there, right? I mean, now, am I being fair? Is that the same crowd? Is that the same crowd who says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna? Is that the same crowd who says, crucify him? If it's the same crowd, I think my lesson stands. If it's not the same crowd, then where does this crowd go? Because they all seem to run away. So is it a failure of there you go. I mean, there's so many different things I think we could look at. All right, so there we have it. Matthew, and I think there's the failure of the religious leader. Oh, there's lots of failures. At least I think so. I think so. There may not be anything there, but your job is to find out. So start in Matthew 21, go to the end of Matthew. Start in Mark 11, go to the end of Mark. Go to Luke 19, starting in verse 28, go all the way to the end of Luke. You start in John 12, verse 12, go all the way to the end of John, and then make a list of all the failures that you see in the text. And then kind of summarize what the failure is, right? And then just kind of write out a summary of what you gained. What did you learn? What do you see from these failures? Now, you may fail to gain any insight into failure by looking at these failures. You may perceive that really there are enough failures there for this to even warrant a Bible pop quiz. If there's not that many, well, then that means then it shouldn't take you that long to finish the Bible pop quiz. If there are many, well, then it may take you a little longer. But whether there are few or whether there are many, whether you think they're significant, whether you don't think they're significant, I hope you see that there is at least one area where this will not be a failure. You will spend the rest of Holy Week looking at the scriptures describing the last week of Jesus' earthly life. I don't believe that is a failure. Now, that's maybe me convincing myself, or maybe I'm trying to convince you. There is your Bible pop quiz for Wednesday, March the 27th, 2024. As you spend time meditating on God's word, looking at the failures of others, may it be challenging to you to consider yourself in light of those failures and be warned, be challenged, and be convicted. May God bless you. Everyone have a great week of study.